This is a replay of the Thursday night, March 19th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings on LS Sports Preemptus. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. All you have to do is call 888-876-5593. That's the deal. So John had asked earlier. He says, "Well, when is winter over? When is spring coming?" I said, "I don't know, like the 21st, because it usually is." But I decided I'd look it up, and it turns out the vernal equinox, don't you know, is tomorrow morning. That's it. So thus starts spring, though you wouldn't know it in many places across the country. If you're in the West, you wouldn't know it because it's already over 100 degrees. And if you're in the Chicago area, you wouldn't know it because it's kind of chilly, to say the least. So I thought, well, let's look up the forecast. Who would know better than the Old Farmer's Almanac, don't you know? And they're hedging their bets on the Chicago area. They're saying the temperatures will be warmer than normal for April, May, and June. That's good news. As far as rain, well, it depends on how you look at it. It might be below normal and it might be above normal. Well, that covers both of it, doesn't it? So I can't tell you about rain, although they are thinking maybe perhaps a bit wet, but warmer. So that's good news there. The really good news, if you're in the Southwest, is that it'll be cooler. Anything cooler than 105 is welcome at this point. And yes, according to the old Farmer's Almanac, average temperatures. But once again, rainfall above normal or below normal, depending on how you look at it. They do cover their bases. All right, so we're going to talk about phone systems. We're going to talk about Medicare with Ruth and the film festival, see what's going on with that. But Pat in Harwood Heights, welcome to WGN Radio. You're first.
Hey, how are you, Raleigh?
All right, what's happening?
Oh, you know, I was in Harwood Heights. I talked to a guy who's probably been a few months. Magnolia, Texas now.
Oh, all right. How you liking it?
I love it.
Good. That's wonderful.
But it was funny. You told me humidity? Okay, I could live with that. It's a lot better than the man, you know, Chicago, the Chicago area. Just, man, they had a brutal winter.
Just wait. For people who don't know,
Magnolia
is in the Houston metropolitan area. I wouldn't say metro, but it's an exurb, to say the least. And yeah, it gets a mite warm, but so far so good. That's great.
Oh, no, it's beautiful. It's funny. You told me when I was moving down here, I asked you because I knew that, you know, I think you've said before you lived in like 32 different places.
It's
with
true.
The radio jobs.
Absolutely. Houston being one of them.
You said you're going to see a lot of trees driving down there. Oh, my God, you are right.
it is so sad. It did not used to be that way. In the 50s, it was such a wonderful drive. Even throughout the 60s, a wonderful drive. You'd look out, you'd see the whole countryside. You'd see a Stuckey's off in the distance or whatever. Now, trees, more trees, and more trees. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
But, you know, I guess they're good for the environment, better than...
I don't know what they're good for. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, it was Lady Bird who wanted to beautify America and took away all the billboards. Well, if they have to give us trees, bring back billboards. At least let me read signs. Let me do something.
I expected to see a lot more open land, especially, through...
No, trees.
I expected a lot more open land with the oil, derricks and farmland and it's not a lot of cows and stuff. It is beautiful down here.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the people are very nice.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's personal preference. If you don't mind humidity, then it's tolerable. And you're kind of northwest of Houston, so it's not quite as bad as, say, if you were in Galveston. But it's still it's still awfully humid. So, if you can take it, well, that's terrific.
Everything's a trade-off.
Absolutely. And there are no perfect places.
Don't you work out of Arizona?
Yes, I do.
It's a trade-off too. It's very hot, but not as humid, right?
It's not humid at all. We're in single digits usually, but where I have the radio stations in the Globe, Miami area, we've got some altitude, so it does not get nearly as hot as where I'm sitting right now in Scottsdale, where it is over 105 degrees. So this is March. Make note of it. We're all wondering what that'll mean, but
it's funny. When I first moved down here, it didn't seem like it took that long to get used to the climate.
Well,
but I learned something.
What?
Somebody said, because I was shivering when it got down to like 50.
Uh-huh.
And I believe it's because it's humid here. But having spent my whole life up north in Detroit and Chicago and... It's very dry in the wintertime, but it gets extremely cold. Around here, it's not as cold, but as someone one of my neighbors that I've befriended said, it's a different kind of cold because it's humid.
Yeah, it'll chill you to the bone. There's nothing more... nothing more miserable than the 40s and high humidity. I mean, that is the absolute worst. But when you're judging it, remember, you're not anywhere near the height of humidity for where you're living. In fact, you're in the relatively dry, beautiful season. Talk to me in August, September.
No, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, but you're right.
I worked outside up in Illinois and Chicago and that area. For 35 years, outside on outside equipment. And there were times when it was 30 below, chill, but actual temperature, it was brutal.
Yes, that is brutal. But I'll tell you, the colder it is, you can still always put more on. Now, not for 35 below, obviously, that's a time not to be outdoors. but when you're talking about heat, there's only so much you can take off.
Well, it's funny that you said that. There was a lady that I worked with for years that was really nice from Guatemala. And we were talking about the wintertime weather up there one year when it was really brutal.
Yeah.
And she said exactly what you just said.
Right.
You can always put more layers on, but you can only take so many layers off.
That's exactly the way it is. So, but as I say, no place is perfect. And I'm glad you're enjoying it. And it probably will be a great move for you.
No, I love it.
Good.
I would never even think about moving back up there.
All right.
Too many years. I'm in my early 60s.
More winter.
No more winters. No more snow shoveling.
And no more state income tax.
Well, that's a nice thing, too.
Don't talk to me about property tax, but then again, in Chicago, I guess it's not going to be as bad as that.
Yeah, but you know what? They have to get their money from somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was there, they were talking about adding a VAT tax. I almost had a heart attack. Fortunately, they didn't do it.
Wasn't it like 10 or 20 years ago when they wanted to do that value-added tax bullshit?
Oh, this was 96. This was 30 years ago right now.
Yeah.
Yep. Remember it well.
But you know what? And I don't want to get political.
Yeah.
But I saw something today that the governor of New York was asking people, wealthy people that went to Florida to please come back. good luck with that.
Yeah, boy. All right. No wonder I don't even pay attention anymore, you know, as far as that goes. Instead of listening to the all news channels when I'm driving, I'm listening to Dateline for a better murder, you know, so I have no idea what's going on, and I want to keep it that way.
Now, you sound great. You sound like you're well.
Oh, well, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, it's been actually a tough time for us. Yesterday, John was saying, I'm worried about you. I said, you're not alone. I am too. But today's a reasonably okay day.
No, it's cool.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there's been some changes at WGN that I wasn't real happy with. But, they're going to do it's business.
You know, I honestly don't know. That's one thing. I'm so out of the loop on that, and not being there, I don't hear the hallway gossip. So you would know more than I would. But still, as far as radio goes, yeah, I can't speak to TV or any of that. But as far as radio goes, it's still one of the best bets on the AM dial anywhere. I can't think of anybody else who is, 24-hour news and local and all the things that they are. That's just wonderful.
No, absolutely. I think I asked you one time because you had been to so many different locations through your radio career. I was kind of surprised that you never ended up on WGN specifically. I think you said the closest you ever got was Rockford?
Right. And, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to John about that last night. I actually, while I was in Rockford, and they were wonderful to me. They were paying me an obscene amount of money. I actually did have some conversations with the program director at the time, who was a lovely woman. Her name was Lorna Gladstone. I really liked her. But for whatever reason, it wasn't meant to be. And I had to get back to the West Coast. I went to San Diego. My adopted mom was dying, and they weren't taking the kind of care of her they needed. And she was between L.A. and San Diego. And I thought, I got to get to one of those markets, and I got to get there fast. And so so I did. And for the last few years of her life, I was basically the police. I lorded over them. In fact, when she died, two of the representatives from Medicare came to me to say, we want you to know we hated you. And we also want you to know that if we could have anybody for a child, it would be you. No one was a better advocate than you were. And so she said, but we hated you. I said, that's fine.
Don't you feel good about that?
Well, it's, you know, and it wasn't a close relationship or anything. It was an obligation. It was something I was obligated to do, and I did it without complaining and anything else, and she had a great last few years of her life.
And that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, to be there for somebody when they need you.
Yep.
Whether, you know.
Yep.
No, that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. So it wasn't bad, and San Diego was not the worst place to be. I would have rather at that point it been back in L.A., which is home for me. But San Diego was not bad, and they treated me all right. So, and it was the same distance.
Did you say L.A. was a home for you? Is that where you came from?
It's where I was born, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but...
You know, L.A. has its issues, as does Chicago, as does Detroit, as does New York.
Well, places only exist in time. When people ask me my favorite city, I say, well, you can't ask that without talking about the time frame. For instance, my favorite city is Cincinnati, 1968, Nashville, 1972. You know, we could go on and on, but the places that were there then don't exist now. And I remember years ago, a good friend of mine was actually Neil Diamond's drummer, and his mother had come to town, and we were sitting there looking at the Pacific Ocean and talking, and she said, I'm so upset because I always wanted to go home to Nebraska. I'd been living in Atlanta for years, and when my son finally had the money to move me back to Nebraska, I went, and she said, but it's not what it was. I am so sorry. And I said, places only exist in time. And by that time, my buddy was having kind of a change of fate and didn't have the ability to move her back to Atlanta. And she sadly died in Nebraska. And I say sadly because she realized she didn't want to be there, but by then it was too late.
I understand.
Yeah, it happened. So, yeah, places exist in time.
You're exactly right. I was born in Detroit.
Ah, great city back in the day.
But as you just said, in that time.
Absolutely.
What happened after? Oh.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah, and for me, a lot of it is radio markets, you know, in terms of what was going on media-wise that meant a lot to me. And all of that is gone everywhere. Used to be the entire Rust Belt was desirable. You know, I would have loved to have been on KB in Buffalo, for instance. And right now, I wouldn't be on Buffalo if you gave it to me, you know. And the same was, you know, same was true. Rochester, you know, WBBF would have been wonderful. Or, you know, I almost went to WGY in Schenectady. Interestingly, I was on there years later, but it was, you know, at a distance. But, you know, I look at these places now and it's like, run, just run. So places change. And, you know, I went to school in South Florida, and back then Fort Lauderdale and Miami were two different cities. And these were small markets. There were no professional sports teams. For instance, I remember ultimately they got the Dolphins, but, you know, the other towns, they didn't have, you know, sports teams. It's the South, you know. And when I was in Nashville, of course, there's no sports teams, or Charlotte, you know. And today you look at it and it's just resplendent. So things change.
Yeah, when I was younger, I was at Oklahoma State University for 2 years.
Ah.
And it was an eye-opener for me. One, how nice people are in the South, personality or culture-wise.
Yeah.
But also, having grown up north, it's like, where's all the professional sports teams? down south, they didn't have them, so everything was high school and college.
Right. Well, especially in places like Stillwater. My God, high school sports are you know, an institution, for God's sakes.
But, you absolutely.
Know, and these are college towns, but you can be in other places in Oklahoma that don't even have the benefit of higher education. And boy, does high school come into play. That's the only social event. So, of course.
Oh.
Of course.
I don't remember the name of it, but there was some kind of a movie, whatever. I'm forgetting the what you call it, but there was something about like Friday nights or something that was all about how big a deal, you know, high school football at night was on the weekends, because they didn't have professional teams, and you know they had all the nice stadiums and turned the lights up, and it was high school football.
Oh, absolutely, and play-by-play on the radio, because after all, that's how you got sponsors, because the team's father had the dry cleaners or whatever, so, you know, you got your business from that, of course, absolutely, and it was a rite of passage. But, you know, that's true today in rural America. For instance, in Globe, where I live, we have three different school districts. Now, mind you, we only have two high schools, but we have different school districts. Why? Because they don't want to screw up the football rivalry. Never mind that educationally it's terrible, but you know, if Globe can't play Miami, then life ends. So yeah, I get it. All right. Well, wonderful to talk to you. Keep me posted. I'm so glad you checked in.
I will let you go. It was wonderful to talk to you again.
Likewise, thanks. All right. So that's terrific.
You take care, Raleigh.
So, you too. So glad Pat is happy in Texas. That's a wonderful ending, but I expect we'll hear from him regularly, and I'm counting on that. All right, we got phone systems, we've got Medicare, we've got film festivals, and hopefully you coming up on WGN Radio.
Oh.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There they are, the Corsairs, lead singer J. Bert Uzel, of course, and the Uzel brothers, there were three of them, actually, were all from North Carolina, LaGrange, actually, and they wound up in New Jersey, and that's where they ran into Arlen Specter, who was Arlen? Wait a minute, that was a politician. Well, his name was Specter, I know that for sure. Abner Specter serveth. Could have been a very interesting label. Abner Specter, who was interesting in and of himself, great stories about Sally Go Round the Roses, but I digress. The nice thing about Tough Records was they had a distribution deal with Chess, so they actually got national promotion, and Smoky Places by the Corsairs was one of their biggest, so there you have it. And I've been meaning to play that for a while. Very patient is Mike in Elmwood Park, who made a couple of requests, and we played one of them before. Now we play the Corsairs, and we have the Duprees to go, and I think that's that was the triumvirate. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Clayton called back. Yeah, oh, my poor Clayton. He was hanging on so much last night, and so I defer to anything he wants to talk about, so the floor is yours, Clayton.
Yes. Hi, Raleigh. How's everything going, first off?
Can't complain. How about yourself? What's happening in Indianapolis?
Well, I've been sick for almost an entire week, and I'm just getting up and moving around. I'm better.
I'm glad to hear that. What'd you have?
I don't know what I got. I mean, it was something terrible, though.
Oh, man. We'll just call it the creeping crud. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Ugh, you're telling me, because there were so many things, so many home projects that needed to be done.
Oh, man.
That I just was simply too weak to get up and do.
Yes, and that's good, actually. And I know what it's like worrying about all that's in front of you, but the reality is it's still there. It'll get done eventually, and you just need to get better first.
Yeah, the bad part is, though, the stuff piles up.
Of course it does.
If you don't.
Of course it does.
I mean, it's going to.
It multiplies at 3 in the morning, I'm convinced.
Well, oh, yeah, because there were times where I'd be doing, like, work on the phone system. Like, I just got the telephone, the phone over here up and running again because lines 1 and 2 on that, oh, God, what is it, that RJ21 plug that was part of my punch block, the wires are becoming a little too short.
Uh-huh.
I had to switch it up to lines 4 and 5 on the key phone because they had long wires on them and I could use them.
Right.
I just don't know where I can find a replacement one of panel mount RJ21 plugs with the wires attached, or if I can just get a panel mount RJ21 and just punch wires down onto it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that for many reasons, one of them being that the lights on the phone are actually supplied by a power transformer that I mounted on the adapter board, which takes the mains voltage and I think converts it down to about 12 or 24 volt AC to power the light.
Yeah.
I've got the A leads acting as a switch and the A lead common connected to the hot side of the transformer, because that basically provides power to all the A leads depending on which line I select.
Uh-huh.
And that's what switches power to the lamps.
Absolutely. Well, we're talking about standard RJ21, right? It's a 50-pin connector, 25 pairs.
Yes,
okay.
It in fact is.
You can get those, usually they have Cat5e attached to them these days, but they are easy to order. Places like Stonewall Cable, and there's other places as well, Amazon, where you can look at it. Some of them are those annoying right angles, but nonetheless, it's basically an Amphenol, and you know that, and so you can get them.
Yeah, but what I'm looking for is one of those little, oh, God, what is it? It's one of those ones that, because my punch block that all those wires connect to, my punch block actually has a little, it's got a bracket with it that connector would to, and then the wires actually land on the terminal block,
right,
on the punch block that comes with that, that seats into that bracket as well.
Yep. If you can't find it at all, you'll get another punch block because they are still available as well.
Yeah, and I'm planning on honestly getting rid of the adapter board, moving all of that stuff into a proper network cabinet in the first place.
Okay.
And, like, doing something, moving the RJ21 into, like, a rack panel with the rest of the keys.
Okay.
Like the power transformer and the incoming service. Because what I did was I made this a one-cable deal. I had a, oh, God, what is it, an RJ31 jack.
Okay.
It's basically a six-pair. It's a three-pair jack. But what they've done with it, I've only got two lines coming in, the one I'm talking to you on right now, and then another one. That's coming in on this Cat5 cable,
right?
Punched into the block.
Yeah, no, you'll be fine. I'll just take a little bit of looking around. And for anybody who's listening and has never heard of RJ anything, it stands for registered jack. And when you look at your standard telephone, that's an RJ11. When you look at your cable, your broadband cable, that's an RJ45.
Yeah.
And there's nuances, as you well know, in terms of what you want with the pins and all that. But for the most part, it was standardized by Bell many, many years ago. And going back to when they didn't allow for interconnection of any non-Bell stuff. So sure.
Yeah. And then I don't know what to do about the lights, because the lights, I had to go completely screw terminal with that, because the wires were on the output of the transformer were too big for me to stick into the block.
Correct.
And I didn't want to be spliced on the smaller wire.
Right.
Because that tends to present a fire hazard, and I really didn't want.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, good. But it's a lovely thing to take up your time, because it's fun and it's sort of like a hunt. You'll find it all.
Yeah, and then I got. Oh, I also did get a lineman test set. It's a TS-21, and then I got a 66/110 punch-down tool.
And for people who don't understand what you're talking about, these lineman sets, usually they were red, but they could be blue or any other color, and they were a big thing, and they looked like they had a touchstone pad on one end, and on the other end they had some wires, and this was a way to determine what was going on.
Oh, yeah, and I used it a lot. I used it pretty heavily. I even used it to check for AC voltage at the lamp sockets to the key phone to make sure that everything was working properly there, because I didn't want to take a chance that something was wrong with it.
Right. Nothing like a good set of alligator clips.
Yeah, and then, of course, I had to clip onto the punch block to check each line connection every time I made it.
Yep.
And trust me, that took at least 5 hours to do. And
oh,
that's
I'm sure.
Just for two phone lines.
I'm sure. Absolutely. And for people who want to get a lineman test set, if it's your joy, you can go to eBay. They've always got them. They're usually only about $20. And you can go ahead and knock yourself out.
Yeah, and I'm also get anyone that might have one, possibly you might have one, I don't know, but it's a Southwestern Bell FF-912 analog cordless phone, and I'm looking to put that one in the bedroom and replace this Panasonic Digital, the actual analog phone.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I don't have much anymore because each time I move, I throw out more. A while ago, John said, you know, we can move, but I won't let us use more than one full semi. And that's, you know, that's hard for me. I can't move everything in one full semi. So invariably, I throw things out. And usually, I later determine that most of it's garbage and I really don't care. But every time I've thrown out something I want, like my old Pyrex from the 40s, I didn't realize I couldn't get that again. So, it's always something. So, no, I've got very little Southwest Western Bell stuff, though I remember them very fondly.
Right, and I'm also, because none of my lines have a telephone answering machine on them, I'm also looking around for either some analog record-a-phone answering machines or possibly a digital one, either anything tape-based or digital with. It just has to be in working order.
Well, that thing, that the Ansaphone from like 1960, I remember that so well. And that's been about, and of course, you know, all the Kodaphones and stuff. I would think that you can find those on eBay. I haven't tried, but I would imagine. Let me try to look here.
Yeah, I would think you could. Because otherwise, and if I can't do that, I'm thinking about making an answering machine out of a reel-to-reel deck. Hold on. This cell phone is trying to... Let me put this on silent so it's not bothering me.
You know, I would...
There we go.
Yeah, I would think that there probably would be a way, and I haven't really thought this through, so I'm talking off the top of my head, but I would think that there would be a way to play with dictaphones to use one of those.
Yeah, because what I want to do is use... Because I'm also in the look for a reel-to-reel deck.
Okay, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. Got a lot of reel-to-reels, that's for sure. All right, so we'll talk to Clayton. We got Ruth and we got Chris and hopefully you two coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, 1963 co-ed record, The Duprees, Joy Van on lead, You Belong to Me, and that was Mike's other request. So now Mike in Elmwood Park has heard all three, and next I'll hear from you on WGN Radio.
I know you don't know what I'm going through. Standing here looking at you. Well, let me tell you that it hurts so bad. You know it hurts so bad. Hey, it's gonna hurt so bad if you walk away. Like needles in pains, people say. Now you've been making out okay. She's in love, don't stand in her way. Let me make it up to you.
Stay.
I'll do anything you want me to. You loved me before, so love me again. I can't let you go back to him. Please don't go, please don't go, baby. You know it hurts so bad, yeah. Hey, it's gonna hurt so bad if you walk away.
Oh,
so bad. You know it hurts so bad.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there they are, the Delphonics. Stacy complained that I didn't play a request fast enough. So there she gets some Delphonics, 1968, from the La La Means I Love You album. And a fine cut it is. So, I'm trying to think of the label on that. Philly Groove, of course. How could I forget? Philly Groove. All right. So there you have it. 888-876-5593. And we'll wrap it up with Clayton. And Clayton, I'll tell you, I just went on YouTube because, you know, I had a Kodafone 700, which was wonderful, but I didn't see anything about that except one for parts. However,
Wow. There
are literally 30 different Kodafones available right now for, you know, like anywhere from $39 to $59. So check eBay, because of course the Kodafones, now the later ones of course uses the micro cassettes and all that, but the original ones were using reel to reel. So you can probably find something if you search for it.
Yeah, because I am looking. Oh, are you still there, Raleigh?
Yeah, I am.
There we go. Like I said, I'm looking at getting an original reel to reel Kodafone.
Yeah.
And I don't know quite where I ought to set it. I mean, should I put it in the nursery or should
well,
I put it in the...
That's one I can't answer. I don't see your setup and everything else, but I'm sure wherever you put it will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we could video chat one day. That way I can actually show you.
I don't video chat with anybody. I have every camera in the world absolutely disabled here. So, nope, there's no video anything in my life. All right. So, anyway, but you should have no problem. And keep me posted.
Yeah, I will. I'll see about also potentially getting a PBX installed in here.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to manage my phone lines a little better. Plus, I want to connect my cell phone using one of those cell-to-jack things.
Okay.
So that I can have a third phone line. And I'm also going to pay for a Straight Talk wireless home phone.
Okay.
I'm also going to potentially pay for a Straight Talk wireless home phone.
Okay.
What do you think of that one?
No, there's so many different choices on that the world is your oyster. You know, do your research and whatever works for you, good deal.
What do you think, though, would be a good PBX system that's a small analog thing that doesn't involve VoIP very much, unless I get multiple nursery locations and I will have to go VoIP, but... what do you think would be a good idea to start with?
I'm not sure. You've got a lot of things. You probably looked at things like this 3CX, for instance. There's a lot of choices. So you will not have a problem.
What do you use?
For on-air phone systems, we're using a whole different system because, of course, it's nothing that you would need on any level. But I use Telos equipment, and at the moment it's an H1x6. But Telos is great. But those are not things that you would need to worry about. And the nice thing about the H1x6 is I've got two completely different systems within it, so I can conference two calls and have separate controls on both of them and have them on the air simultaneously. So that's nice. The old 1x6s didn't do that. But there's many other choices from Telos and other people to choose, but you won't need that stuff.
Right. Sorry about that. I have another thing going. Anyhow, with that being said, I do know that the Southwestern Bell phones, they do have a headset jack on them.
Yep.
Which I really like.
Yep, most of them do. Yeah. And you know, there are all sorts of sets you can get that will do that. But I'm running out of time, so keep me posted and good luck.
All right, you too, Raleigh.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, the H-by-6 was not developed for VoIP, but I'll tell you what, it works perfectly fine on VoIP, and I've been real happy with that H-by-6. And of course, I used to have all the Telos 1x6s, but man, that's I think about it, that's 35 years ago now. All right, so 888-876-5593. Ruth is in Gurnee. All right, Ruth, what's going on with Medicare?
Hi, Raleigh. I laughed so hard when I just heard that question. Are you still there, Raleigh?
Yeah.
And the these callers could out-talk you. And they are going to have a biography of you, and I wonder who the author will be.
Oh, God, I hope
and
they
the
don't.
And the title of the book is Don't You Know? Now, if I could write a little statement in it, I would love to be able to do it and use a famous name from a previous life. But now I just forgot what the words were that I would write in the foreword, so I have to wait for, you know, a passing year or whatever. But back to my questions.
Yes.
I have two medical questions, and I have one other litigation question.
Oh, my God. Okay.
For my 5 hours a week caregiver, after I've been on it more than 12 years, is being pulled to out of my circumstances within a few days. And a letter notifying me of it, I didn't get to the mail, I never do for a week and a half, was there indicating this would happen in a few days. So here's my first litigation question. If they're looking for a document, certificate, from the city of Chicago, from my birth date, and any police department anywhere in the county and Chicago could verify through their knowledge and their computers my name, my birthday, where I was born, and a letter of introduction from a police department.
All right. Wait. Why are we talking about your vitals? Don't you have a birth certificate that proves who you are and where you are?
And it would be in Chicago,
right.
And I called in November for 2 months. Recordings, left messages, didn't get anything returned, and that was it.
Well,
I quit.
No, you shouldn't be quitting, because you can and should request a copy of your birth certificate if you don't have one. I think everybody should have a certified copy of their birth certificate, just like I think everybody should have passports, but that's just me. But City of Chicago, that's Cook County, it's fairly easy to get birth certificates. I know years ago when I used to do astrology charts for people, I pulled them from Cook County fairly regularly. In fact, while I was filing some things for the move, I came across Pat Sajak's birth certificate. And so,
The other thing is this. I'm not interested in handing it over where it's going to get into a system and a computer, and they're going to put it into their system, and I'll do what's happened in fake addresses and
the bottom line is, if a birth certificate is required for verification, you've got to provide one.
After 12 years?
I don't care.
What,
I didn't see the letter. Why are they cutting you off?
They are saying that they want this one piece of information. Obviously, IRS.
Okay, wait a minute. Whoa. What one piece of information? A birth certificate?
Correct.
Get one. I have no sympathy.
Okay, you know what? Here's the let me tell you now about my medical questions, okay? So, and that'll answer about this birth certificate thing, too. Okay, first medical question is what you might have a remedy for, and that is I have been getting little beading in my eyes, especially at night and through the night after sleeping, waking up, I get little tiny beadings in the corner of my eye and in the eyelids, and they kind of stick together, and I got to clean it out. Now, most of the itching has gone away. Now, what I tried to do with this circumstance was, and this goes to a medical thing too, I called for a free through insurance, and I've lost my insurance within the last 2 weeks also, my medical insurance.
Why did you lose your medical insurance?
Well, first of all, I haven't called them and asked, but today I ordered the inconsistent pads, and I saved the taxpayers, but usually the bill for the paper towel diapers and the pads and the wipes is $800 to $900. So I paid out-of-pocket cost for the pads, $106. There goes one of my St. Patrick raffle tickets for this year. But anyway, they cut me off from that insurance agency.
Wait a minute.
I'll find out.
You know, I always get so confused when we talk with, all right, here's the bottom line. You're Medicare eligible, right?
I am Medicare eligible. They cut me off the insurance, and I'll get to
wait,
that.
Wait a minute. What insurance? When you say insurance, are you talking about Medicare itself or a supplemental Medigap policy?
I'm talking about when a doctor feels the best recommendation.
If you have Medicare, that's insurance. If you don't have Medicare, that's another problem. But when you say insurance, you don't have insurance separate and different from Medicare other than a Medigap
policy.
Okay,
then I'm going to name the insurance provider.
No.
Humana.
I don't care who it is. You're not telling me what kind of a policy. Is it a Medigap policy? What is it?
Well, they cut me off of my diapers and consistent supplies.
Okay, I can't.
The insurance is not there.
Yes,
okay.
But was this a Medicare Advantage plan?
Yes, a Gold
Advantage
plan.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's an Advantage plan. So yes, then that's that's exactly true. You Advantage plans are never my choice, but they certainly are choice.
Okay. So anyway, we got that one, and I wasn't going to actually go there.
We don't care.
So back to a free anytime in 2025, no charge for a medical physician's appointment. So I called in December, and the person that was putting in the information for me did not put it into the system for my travel passage to get there. So that's December, so that I lost that one. So the next time I'm going to go, I'm just going to pay through the insurance and whatever is left over that I add to. Okay, so January, 9 degrees below zero. And I have called for a bus to take me to a health club and then a medical appointment 10 minutes away at a clinic. Mm-hmm. So the bus goes to the health club because I hadn't had a shower for 3.5 years. So the health club.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So, yes, same thing happened when I traveled through the Dakotas in the 1800s.
The 1800s. Very nice.
Oh, yeah. Well, and a whole lot of other people in a lot of places also.
Uh-huh.
If you're in a nursing home, you might not get a shower if you're totally paraplegic. But anyway, aside from that, I find out that the transportation has gone to the health clinic until where I'm waiting for them, 9 degrees below zero, to take me to the first location, health club, and then a medical clinic. That's January. So comes February, I call the medical clinic because they have a van that will come and get me and take me back if I want to take back to the original where I left from. So I book my reservation and get the appointment after 2 or 3 weeks of waiting for that. So the van goes to a fake address in Zion, several long-distance cities away from me, and I'm out there waiting an hour and a half, and it was Winchell was out there. So the van wasn't going to come, even though they had picked me up 4 years ago. With the van, it had taken me to the clinic, so I hadn't been there for 4 years. So that particular circumstances, December, January, February, and a couple of days ago, I called to make an appointment. Well, I thought I would still have the caregiver available to help me with the wheelchair, you know, and get in and out and blah, blah, blah. And they said that there were doctors were not there on Thursday and Friday at this clinic. I mean, a very large clinic associated with
Understand. I don't understand. I mean, this is a wonderful litany of problems that you have, but I don't understand what you're asking me.
Well, now comes the remedy question.
Oh, God.
I was asking for the litigation on whether or not they can take the money that I have paid in. I haven't used any medical anything for 4 years.
Wait a minute. What money have you paid? What money have
you
paid?
From Social Security.
You're talking about from your Social Security check? No. You have no leg to stand on here.
I have no right to do what?
You have no leg to stand on here. You're not going to prevail. What you're saying is, wait a minute, on Medicare Advantage, they get my Part B premium amount from the government, and they're supposed to provide certain services. Well, if you read the policy real carefully, you'll find out exactly what those services are and how they work, and I have a feeling that they will prevail.
I'm not talking about the Humana. I'm talking about when it was litigation was put through the Congress and the Senate.
You're not going to win. Form of, you're not going to.
I didn't say I was going
okay,
to win.
So then,
some people have decided that they won't pay into it at all,
God,
they go without any medical, thing that they pay for. They're saying constitutionally they can't tell you. You have to provide money from your
correct,
incomes, whatever
correct.
They be.
Are you asking me whether you can prevail in not paying anything in and not having Medicare? Is that what you're asking me?
No, you can't get both. You couldn't get both. I just think that they're going to take it from me, and I'm not using it.
All right, fine. I can't help you, Ruth. I wish I could. I just can't help you.
Okay.
All right, thank you. I got to go.
Here's the next.
No, there is one more question. There is no question. I've just fallen out of the chair. We'll talk at another time. I literally have. Unbelievable. All right. I mean, usually I can't follow Ruth, but this is... All right, we'll pick it up there on WGN Radio.
Not be no movie queen, but I'm gonna keep the little girl right here on my scene. Let me tell you,
she's a
fancy clothes, but what I dig about the little girl is the way she wrinkles up her cute little nose. Let me tell you,
she's
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That was Johnny Goen who mentioned this when we talked to him last week. He said, Jackie Wilson, she's all right. Yeah, all right with me, 1964 on Brunswick. He'd make a fine preacher, don't you think? All right, don't forget soulofthecity.net Sundays from 6 to midnight. If you're into classic soul and some wonderful obscurities and air checks of soul jocks of past decades, many past, you'll love it. So soulofthecity.net. And if you have an aggregator and that's the way you get there, you can go to HoustonRadioPlatinum.com and do it that way. But you'll get the same thing as long as you do it Sunday from 6 to midnight Central Time. The show is not archived, so be there or be square, as they say. All right, now, Chris in Greenwood, what do we know about the film festival?
Well, the film festival is this Saturday. And all the workshops are done.
Okay. And?
Yeah, so we got a free day tomorrow.
And so do you know yet who's in the finals?
We don't know yet, but they're going to show all the films in entirety.
Yeah, on Saturday, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and then they'll when will they announce the finalists?
At the festival.
Okay, good. So we'll know that on Saturday. And then the winners will be announced on Monday?
They'll announce it on Saturday, but they're going to show all
okay.
the films
all right.
in its entirety.
Okay, so then we'll know on Saturday night. Now, have you put yours up on YouTube yet?
No, not yet, but right. soon.
Okay, when you do, let us know. We want to see it.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. And, I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, gosh. Well, I do that every night, so you're not alone with that. But our thoughts and prayers will be with you, and good luck.
Oh, yeah. You All think right. it will be a big hit? Because today we learned about Hitchcock and the women in the films that he made.
Uh-huh. What'd you learn?
I learned, like, you know, they got an only child, and I forgot Alma Hitchcock.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he married or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We learned all that. You know Chippy Hedren?
Oh, of course.
She was one of Hitchcock's...
Oh, well, absolutely, we know what we know about Tippy. You betcha.
Yeah, you know Hitchcock got her doing those scenes with those real birds.
Yes, and she was traumatized, to say the least.
She's still traumatized to this day for those birds.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, cause I think they made a movie called The Girl, and I think Hitchcock probably kissed her into a deal. Because, you know, there was a movie made out of that.
Yeah. All right, well, that must have been a nice workshop. You learned all sorts of dirt. That's good.
Yeah, you know his last film, Family Plot,
okay.
Was in 76.
Uh-huh.
I wonder, like, it waned down because of Stephen King's popularity with Carrie, because it came out the same year.
I don't know. Yeah, I was after 52 movies. That was like his 53rd. Not bad. And Bruce Dern was in that, and William Devane, who's always a lot of fun. And so yeah, a fake
Karen Black.
Karen Black, a fake psychic, and her cab driver boyfriend trying to locate a missing heir for reward. All right, and of course, what they didn't know was they were targeting a high stakes kidnapper. So Family Plot.
Yeah, and you know they did Frenzy too in 72.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of his final films.
Yeah.
And I think he died in 1980, I think.
So there you have it. Good. Well, I'm glad glad that was the deal.
I'm following in the footsteps of Martin Scorsese, Steven Spielberg, and them good filmmakers.
Well, I don't know. Let's see the film first. But yeah, I think it was April 29th in 1980 that Alfred Hitchcock died, and in Los Angeles. So yes,
yeah.
And that was the deal. All right. Well, very good. Well, I can't wait to hear more about it. Let me know.
Yeah, you want me to call back Monday? Or
yes, absolutely. Yeah, even though it's trivia, let us know if you won. We want to celebrate.
Okay, yeah, we'll celebrate over the radio.
Okay, good. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Good night. Have a great weekend.
You too. And so, Alfred Hitchcock was an interesting character all the way around, and that's a study as well. A lot of interviews over the years, Tom Snyder and others, and interesting. And when he was a kid, his parents, I think, ran a fish and chips restaurant, and they lived above it. So that was interesting. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh, and that will take us to Robert in LaGrange. What's up, Robert?
Wally, I wanted to know if you probably knew a little more background information about this play. You know, back in the 30s, it was called War of the Worlds.
Well, sure, because it scared the hell out of people.
Right, and a good portion of the audience actually thought that we were being invaded.
Yes, that's correct. They absolutely did, and that's probably the only reason that we still talk about it.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know, I mean that was a scare. Obviously, it was written long before that radio broadcast. I think it was written in the late 1890s, and so.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. H.G. Wells.
Well,
yeah, and
I figured it sounded like an H.G. Wells type.
Well, it was the War of the Worlds,
yeah.
And it was the attempted invasion of Earth by Martians, who were smarter and had better weapons, and they intended to eliminate mankind. And so this thing actually had been serialized in Cosmopolitan magazine in the late 1800s, and also in Pearson. So the novel was published right before the turn of the century, like 1898 or so. Around there, and it's interesting because the fact that it had people falling for this hook, line, and sinker, and I thought to myself when I first heard about that as well, I guess they weren't very literate because the Orson Welles broadcast was 1938, So they had about 30 years of this to exist. And, of course, you know, there's all sorts of people who go ahead and parse these books and all that. And historians were saying that it was the morality of imperialism. Well, the hell with that. It was a good story. And and Martians, I think that was the first big Martian thing. But Martians were, you know, a nice subject after that. And but yeah, the thing about Orson Welles was how the people were just dumbfounded by this. They fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
Wow.
It caused hysteria. And, of course...
Oh, sure, yeah.
What's interesting is that there were announcements that it wasn't for real. It isn't that it was just broadcast completely without that, but nobody actually heard that, apparently, or paid attention to it. And, you know, the way Orson Welles set it up was the entire first half of the program was done as if it was a newscast, you know, breaking news. And
the bulletins. Yeah.
Right. So it was all that. And so it was describing the fall of New York City. And so, listeners just went crazy over this. And CBS was aware that there was a public problem while it was being performed. So it wasn't that they didn't know about it. And a lot of people called for, more regulation from the FCC. But it's my understanding that there was a disclaimer, you know, and then again, who tunes in at the first moment of the show? The ends with Welles coming out of character and comparing the show to dressing up in a sheet and jumping out of a bush and saying boo. He didn't see it as anything other than that. But again, a number of the people who tuned in, especially if they had tuned in after it started, fell for it completely.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And, radio was still, relatively new then, and you could really use your imagination, too, if they tuned in a little later.
Yeah, this is 1938, so radio drama was already a very well-known thing in the 30s.
Right.
So there were a ton of those shows, but there were also a ton of newscasts, too. So, the fact that it simulated live news, you know, that's what caused the FCC to say, well, let's take a look at this. And there were others. There was something. Welles didn't think of War of the Worlds on his own. That approach. There was a radio hoax from 1926. It was a guy named Ronald Knox, and I don't remember the details. But what I do know is that Orson Welles got the idea from this radio hoax, and there was a drama in Australia, the same kind of technique, and actually that was 1927, and it had the same kind of reaction. Mm-hmm. So there was a thing called The Fall of the City, and that was a radio play from about a year before War of the Worlds, where Welles played the role of an announcer and an air raid as if it was happening. In fact, Ray Collins starred in that. And so, H.V. Kaltenborn provided some of the historical commentary. So those techniques weren't totally new. And CBS had a news documentary radio series, a dramatization called The March of Time. And, you know, that was the same kind of vein. So it wasn't, totally unknown. But the reaction, because it's so, the audience is so big and all that. Yeah, people went semi-crazy.
Yeah, and in fact, even like sound effects were another thing. I remember once hearing that they would crumple up some cellophane paper, and that would be like a fire almost.
Oh, well, you know, all that. Radio drama was very inventive that way. There were a ton of wonderful sound effects, and there were people who their full-time job was coming up with that. And so, you know, sure, that was common for all the radio dramas, which one of the things that made them really neat. And so,
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think the only reason we still talk about it is how many people were duped by it. But John said, shut up and pay bills. So, you want to hit or get? You got anything else to say?
Now?
Right now. I got to play commercials.
Maybe just a quick request.
Okay.
I heard,
then hang on. Don't go away.
Jackie Wills.
Stay away. Oh, stay okay. there, and I'll find out exactly what it is coming up on WGN Radio. Okay. So I got a minute. All right. I am in the break. And so, Robert, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yes, I can.
So
yeah.
since I'm in the break and I won't be talking to you afterwards, I'll play your request. What is it you want to hear?
Yeah. Jackie Wilson, Reach Petite.
Okay, you got it. It'll come on right after this commercial break. WGN Radio, the first hit for Jackie Wilson after leaving the Dominoes. I'll tell you more about it. That was Robert's request, but there's an interesting story of how Reach Petite came about. So all that and more after the news here on WGN Radio.
Petite and gone. What a babe, she's the tops. When we go out, they don't need no traffic cops. One look at her and the traffic stops, cause she's Reach Petite and gone. Now I could have my pick, you know, cause I got dough that's ready to go. But this chick's so mighty fine, she got me all tied up like a ball of twine. When I do things, I do them right. I won't ever let my baby out of sight. We'll tie the knot and tie it tight, cause she's Reach Petite and gone. That chick has changed my attitude whenever I gaze on her paltry tude.
I'm telling you, Jack, she's so mighty fine. She got me all tied up like a ball of twine. Those other chicks leave me cold.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, one of my all-time favorites, Louis Jordan, and Reed Petite and Gone. And that is exactly where Berry Gordy got the title for Jackie Wilson's Reed Petite, which he wrote with Billy Roquel Davis and his sister Gwen. All right, so, but that was the original, 1948 on Decca, Reed Petite and Gone. And Reed was a jazz term for, fabulous. She was just wonderful and all those kind of things. She was Reed. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And we got Jim from Richmond. All right, Jim, wait a minute here. Let's get you on here, if I can, and see what's going on tonight.
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Glad you did.
I talked to John.
Yeah.
Someone suggested the Lakeland Clinic in Delavant, and I've been there, and I know where it's at.
Okay.
But that's not what I want for Bear. But, I was trying to help out someone who owns Mr. Chubb if they needed a dog, because I want him to go somewhere where he'll be, you know, taken care of.
Well, hopefully it won't come to that, but I'm sure Elizabeth will tell us if Mr. Chubbs passes away. So thank you for the suggestion.
Right. And number two is, for 35 years, I ran a route and I ate at McDonald's.
Yeah.
And I remember back in either it was the late 80s and the early 90s that they had an Arch Deluxe burger.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know if you knew about that.
Yeah. And so, did you like it?
Yeah, and it didn't last very long.
Yeah.
But you're talking about it now. It's a whole miracle thing and everything, but they've had it before.
Right,
you know?
Right. Now I guess it's the Big Arch. Well, it's big, all right. It's got over 1,000 calories, for God's sakes. But,
And it had that back then, too.
Right. It was about mid-90s. And, I think they were trying to position it as a grown-up burger, a quarter pound of beef, and circular peppered bacon and lettuce and tomato. And I love the sauce. They called it Dijonaise, whatever that was. And they put
it. Yeah, I love the sauce.
And it was
I love the sauce, too.
It was a potato bun, yeah. You know, back in the 80s and the 90s, there were a lot of creative fast foods. Like on the West Coast, we had Carl's Jr., and they came out with a chicken fried burger that was just wonderful. You know, it must have been 3,000 calories, but it was great. Or Kentucky Fried Chicken in the early 70s had barbecue, and that was wonderful, too, because it was all the regular chicken with the bad for you stuff on it with barbecue sauce on top of it. What could be better? So that went away too.
Yes. And the other thing I wanted to talk to you is I've been bombarded with commercials and everything about the new Macintosh Neo.
Uh-huh. Yeah, lower. They're going after the low price market.
Right. And I couldn't get anyone to take me anywhere to go see it. Nobody would take me, my friend and my brother. But is that something that will help me?
Well, you know, in terms of help you, anything you have right now would probably do whatever this would do for you. It would be the software on it, not the computer itself. Now,
right, but the size of it.
Well, the other thing, it's the same processor that's in the iPhone 16 Pro. And it's only got 8 gigabits of RAM, and that's not upgradable. Now, so it's fanless, which is nice. It's small, which is nice. And it's only $600, which is nice. But it's not a tremendously powerful, it's a 13-inch Retina display. You could probably use whatever software you're using on whatever you've got. But I don't think you need to worry about a new computer. I think you need to worry about how to get the software and master it.
Right. And... is the keyboard big enough for me to see?
No, see, that's what I'm saying. I don't, it's 13 inches. You know what a 13-inch laptop looks like. So I don't see where it's an advantage to you.
Okay.
The other thing is, remember, you've got a phone, right?
Right.
Okay, well, with your phone, you can always get a Bluetooth keyboard, any size you want, that will connect directly to the phone.
Right,
through Bluetooth.
And I've heard about that too.
Right,
and I was never able to get to that place in Milwaukee to go look for those keyboards that will help me. But that's in the future.
Yeah, well, the same thing here. I don't think that that a Neo is going to be a big advantage to you. I think starting to learn the software with whatever you've got is really what's important here.
Right, and I use VoiceOver and I do all that stuff, and my last statement is about my colonoscopy.
Did you do it?
No. Okay. I am scheduled for the 16th and 17th of April.
Okay.
And I called Humana today, and they told me that if I go through the hospital to do the cleansing, that my copay is $380.
Oh, geez.
And plus whatever costs that there are doing that.
Right.
If I stay overnight to do it.
Yeah.
I have nobody to take me. I have nobody to supervise me. And, you know, I can't read the labels on the bottles and all that stuff to do the thing.
I know.
And then on the next day, they'll do the colonoscopy. And after talking to Humana today, I actually got a headache.
No, I don't blame you.
And,
I don't blame you.
Right.
You know, I wish there was like a visiting nurse or something, somebody you could pay to do the ColoGuard with you to read the information and help you with that. You know, you'd have to pay you'd have to pay them. But maybe there's somebody who can come to the house and do a ColoGuard with you, and then you could skip the colonoscopy entirely.
I have the ColoGuard thing sitting over here on the counter.
Find out about visiting nurses or traveling nurses or somebody who can come to the house. You'd have to pay them, but it'll be less than you're talking about, and it wouldn't be invasive.
Right. And then I heard about there is a new blood test.
Right.
Called, I think it's called Shield or something, and that would, you know, in other words, I could take that and not have to go through all this. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I still would want to do some type of a screening, like a ColoGuard. I wouldn't rely just on my blood. I think it's great that they are approving Shield. It's something that Guardant Health came up with, and it's for average risk people who are over 45. And what it's looking for is circulating tumor DNA in the blood, and you know that's about 80%. Accurate, but I still say, you know, I would find somebody to help you with a ColoGuard. I'm not a fan of colonoscopies for people over 70s, frankly, because I think there is an absolute downside to them, and there is danger in it to a degree, but it's up to
you. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't. But that's
right.
That's just me. Now, I'm not advising anybody, and of course, I would hope everybody listened to their doctor, and their own situation will be different, but people do need to understand they have options, and they don't have to do certain things. So, but you need to get with somebody who can be there to help you with this, which is kind of a mess, but I think that I'd start calling all the agencies to see if you could find somebody who could come to the house and help you.
Right, and they were suggesting that, you know, I call and I have that. It's called Wall to Wall here, where they'll drive me anywhere for $3.
Yeah, the problem
in Walworth County.
Yeah.
And they will take me to the hospital. And they said, well, call them. They'll take you there. They'll do the cleansing.
Well, then
go home.
Yeah.
But, you know, I said, but how many hours is that?
Well,
and they won't do it at night, you know, pick me up and take me home. You know?
Right. No, well, you know, again, I'd steer you more toward the ColoGuard. The problem with going somewhere, and it's actually somewhat of a problem with someone coming to the house, too, because you're talking about having to defecate on command, and that's not always so easy. So, but I would definitely talk, like with the Visiting Nurses Association, to get a handle on what they could do for you, you know, to just find out what possibly might be out there. Because the same problem is with them. They could come to the house and your body might not want to comply, you know. So I understand that. But the blood test alone, I wouldn't rely on it.
Okay. And I want you to know that between me and you, I told my primary care doctor that if they find cancer, I do not want it in my records, and I will not go after, you know,
well,
the cure is worse
right.
than
and
that, with symptoms.
Right. That is absolutely, you're right. And I applaud you to make a decision that's best for you. But keeping it out of your records, I doubt they'd comply. If there's a hospital in the mix, they're not going to comply. It's just
right.
that simple. No, I don't care what you say. So understand, if you're
right.
if you're going to a hospital, that will be in your records, period. The only way I can think for it not being in your records, it'd be kind of pricey, but that would be to do a Cologuard test under an assumed name, but you have to pay for it.
Right. So, like I said, I have it sitting here on the counter.
Well, you can't have it sitting there forever because the substances you'd be mixing it with won't last forever. They've got expirations on them. The bottom line is I wouldn't care if it was in my records or not. You have the right to refuse treatment. You absolutely, nobody can force you to do anything you don't want to do. You just
the doctors want me to do it. Yeah. The family wants me to do it, and I don't want to do it.
Well, it that's your choice. And I would
right.
I would stand up for any decision you would make. Now again, I don't know about the medical wisdom about it. I'm not giving you a medical advice here. I have no idea. But
you're not a doctor.
God
you
knows.
Only talk on the radio.
That's exactly right. But what I will say is that every individual was born alone and will die alone, and they have the right to decide what treatment or not treatment they want to undergo, what diagnostics they want to undergo, what they don't want to undergo. You can't let anybody force you to do something you don't want to do. Period.
Right, and with my vision getting weaker and weaker, well, I really don't.
Well,
you know, if there's something else wrong with me, I really don't care anymore.
Right,
you might
say, I don't want... Well, you know, I'm the same way. You know, in my advance directive, we call it the hangnail clause. John can have me killed for a hangnail. And it's pretty close to that, because I don't want any
mm-hmm.
I don't want any of this stuff. I'm ready to go tonight. And I'm not suicidal, but I'm just not going through the treatment. Not going to do it.
Right.
And that's my choice.
Right.
But so I don't say that should be anybody else's choice. But what is important is that people make their own choice, whatever that is.
And then thank you for whoever called about Bear. I thank them very much.
All right. Well, we'll keep you posted about that. And good luck in whatever you want to do. Stand up for your own rights.
I am.
Okay. Good deal.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's the deal. Now, with rights come responsibilities and also come repercussions. So if you're intent on catching something early and treating it, then, what I'm saying may absolutely not be the best course of action for you. So I don't know. But what I do know is that you should not be talked into anything. It should always be your choice, and then you live with the bottom line to that. Fran's got some advice. All right, good. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Fran.
Hi. Well, first of all, Gary did his own Cologuard, and he's totally blind.
Right.
And you don't need to get a very big sample.
That's true.
You just, how can I put this for radio? You wipe yourself with a little Q-tip-like thing that they have, and then you put it in the little slot, and you don't have to have, like a whole big stool sample. You just need a little bit.
Well, that little bit is for the thing, the little vial that you then seal up and shake up, and that's that. But there also is a component where you are using the bucket, if you will, and you don't need a whole lot, but you need more than that.
Something is happening to my phone. I can't hear you.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Oh, this is terrible.
I think there you are. My volume got beeped.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no,
but
yeah, it's a little
and then
more.
I had mine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I had mine done in the clinic.
Okay.
Because I didn't know that it was going to be that easy, and they kept wanting me to do it, and I said, "Well, I don't want to do that. Just sounds disgusting. I don't know, and I don't know if I can get it in that little slot,
right?
You know, and that kind of thing." And so the nurse at the hospital or the nurse at the doctor's office showed me how to do it. So, and I'm trying to decide the same thing right now because I'm having a lot of bowel issues and we can't figure out what's going on. We've been on this laxative merry-go-round, and it's just nothing. It either is too much or too little, and my stomach hurts almost all the time, and I need something. I need to find out what is going on.
If you can.
And
if you can, because...
If I can, but they might, you know, suggest for me to get a colonoscopy, and I am 70 years old, and I've got some other...
Well, if you've
issues.
Right, and if you've done the Cologuard and come out okay on that, that's completely up to you if you want to do that. You know.
Well, of course, that was several years ago, and I wasn't having the problems I'm having now. It was just a routine thing.
You're able to do it every 3 years at no cost. Every 3 years, insurance covers it.
Now, that just screams for cancer, right?
Yeah, well, then that's what we're basically talking about here, right? But I would think, and I'm no doctor, but most people I know with gastro problems, and sadly some of them, especially who have genetic markers and all that, might wind up with colon cancer. But for most people I know, it is much more of metabolic or emotional. And, it's not dangerous, but it's a pain in the patootie, so to speak.
Yeah, in more ways than one, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Absolutely. So, and because of what I just said, none of that would be diagnosable, you know, something that would show that. You would take all the tests in the world and wouldn't know.
I mean, I want to know if I have some kind of blockage or something, or there's something with my digestion or something that's going on, because
if you had a real blockage, you would know it. It would not be a question. Blockages are, you know, very painful and deadly. But you're talking about do you have a thinning of the large colon, and that I don't know. But John's saying shut up. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. All right, I will shut up on WGN Radio.
For all of you out there that have a deep feeling for someone and you just don't know how to tell them, you don't know how to articulate it. Every time you go to them, you get tongue-tied. If you don't mind, let me help you out.
For your love, oh, I would do anything. Yes, I would do anything for your love, for your kiss.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. What a nice version of that. Johnny Goen last week mentioned that Lenny Williams had just put it out, and he did. It's on YouTube as I speak, For Your Love. Lenny Williams, of course, we always play shoo-doo-foo-foo-oo, but this was terrific. So worlds of luck to Lenny on that. All right, so back to Fran for a moment here. Sorry about that.
That's okay, no problem. I can't stress this enough, and I know I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it. You need to take your ride system or find other ways to get places. You cannot just sit around and say, well, I can't go because nobody will take me, because people get tired of it.
Oh, absolutely.
People have their own lives, their own pressures, their own stresses, their own stuff that they need to deal with. I'm very fortunate here in that I have a good paratransit system. I'm not really good at crossing streets and stuff like that. So I don't do that anymore. But I do have a good paratransit system. But, you know, if Jim wants to stay where he is, you know, I can kind of understand that. I wish he would go somewhere where he can get better services. But utilize the ones you have. And, you know, you can't expect your brother and your friend to be at your beck and call.
Yeah, you have to.
When my ex-husband and I divorced, my ex-husband was sighted and I got spoiled.
Right.
You know, I got used to him being able to take me places and, you know, do all this. But then that also gave him some power over me.
Of course it did.
And I didn't like that.
Right.
But when I first, you know, we'd been together for over 10 years and I had to relearn how to cope.
Sure.
And, you know, nowadays they have, you know, a lot of places have paratransit and he's got something that will take him from one place to another. Now, I understand about, you know, because some of them don't run at night. Ours does. We're lucky. But, and also, if you learn, you really learn voiceover and you learn the finger gestures and so forth, you can do just about anything with it that you could do with an Apple computer.
Right.
And looking at bigger screens and bigger screens and more magnification and all that isn't going to help because from everything I hear, his eyes are not getting any better.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be mean here.
Oh,
I'm
no, I know really, that. No, I know that.
You know.
And you did, like you say, you learned the hard way on some of this. Yeah, you know, it's easier to be, you know, to be at a distance and not have all the other things involved that emotionally come with life. But if it were me, there is no way I would be somewhere where I wasn't close to the best service possible. You know, we talk all the time about Austin, the People's Republic of Austin, and how terrible it is in so many ways.
Oh, you know, I hate Austin.
Yeah, right.
I like the services I have here.
Well,
it gives me independence.
That's exactly it. And so it's all a trade-off, and it's absolutely worth it to be there because of what you're getting in return. And so I'm just pretty sure that when you're talking about smaller, more rural places, you're fighting a battle that, you know, is not hard to win. You know, like it's funny in Globe, where I have the radio stations, they announced several years ago that, wow, once a day they had Greyhound coming to take you to Phoenix. What they didn't tell you was you had to be there overnight because there was nothing to take you back. So, you know, it was like once a day you could go either way, but not both. You know, things
right.
of that nature. And
yeah.
And too often you need services in a bigger city, whether it's medical or what have you. And when you're in certain rural
communities.
I mean,
I would love to live in a smaller town or, you know, just somewhere else. We thought of other places to try to move to here in Texas. And
it doesn't work.
You know, none of them. One thing about Austin, we have a very good paratransit system and it's relatively cheap.
Right.
Compared to some of the people that I've talked to and what they have to pay. But, you know, getting bigger screens and so forth, that's not going to help you. And you need to learn to not depend so much on your brother and your friend because it sounds like they're just getting kind of burned out.
Yeah. No, I know.
And that doesn't mean they don't care about you. That doesn't, you know, or care about him or, you know, I fortunately found that out the hard way because when I first moved to Monterey from San Jose and my husband and I divorced and I didn't know I'd forgotten how to do some things and I didn't have paratransit. And so I would, you know, I had this one couple that would help me out a lot when they went shopping, they would take me and, you know, that kind of thing. And one time I can't remember what was said. And she said something, and I said, I'm getting to be a little much, aren't I?
Yeah.
You know, because she's blind also. She happened to have a sighted husband.
Right.
And she's blind. And I said, you know, I'm getting to be a little much, aren't I? And she said, well, and I said, don't worry about it. I'll figure it out. And I did. And it wasn't easy because I'm not good at mobility skills. That's not one of my better skill sets. Gary, fortunately, is very good at it, so we can kind of do it together.
Right.
But, and we're very lucky to have paratransit. But the more you can depend on yourself, the more control you have over your life.
Yeah, I know. I'm 100% on your page there, and I'm also 100% on Jim does not need any new computer, any new device. He needs to do what it takes to learn the software that's out there that will work on his device just fine.
Yeah, well, I understand he's looking for an easy fix.
I don't blame him.
I understand that.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't blame him either. I'm looking for an easy fix on some of the things that I've got to deal with.
Of course.
And that easy fix just isn't there.
Right. And that's the hard part. And sometimes it is the hard part to say, hey, what's the cost of staying in a small town in terms of how hard it's going to be to get around? And there are times that you just say, hey, that's a price I don't want to pay. I'm getting out of Dodge. So those are tough decisions.
Yeah.
But, hopefully...
why I stay here in Austin.
Right. absolutely, I understand that. And don't blame you a bit for that. And so you just have to kind of look at it in the humorous side, because Austin will always be doing something that's worth laughing at.
Right. Yeah. Well, there are a lot of things to kind of laugh about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nonstop. Yeah. But fine. So, I agree
with you.
Yeah, I used to
think I was liberal until I moved here.
Well, you know, there's a difference between liberal and nonsensical. All right, that's the thing.
Oh.
And, it's not...
Some of these people and some of the things they say is like, okay, is there a brain working in there?
Right.
Is there something, you know...
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Absolutely. It transcends political direction. It really does. It gets down to basic common sense. I know. And, all the things like, I was there when they were wanting to prosecute people for killing the Barton Creek salamander, and then they discovered they killed it themselves. You know, things like that. So, they purified the water or something and killed the damn thing.
God.
Yeah, we never heard about prosecuting after that. Yeah, well, exactly. That's what I mean. There was always something to laugh about. So absolutely. And being somewhere, anywhere that can make you more independent, as far as I'm concerned, is a great place to be. I don't care where it is. So, yeah, I agree.
It's real easy to get into that. Well, I don't have anybody to take me. And there are times when I get into that mode. But most of my friends know that if I call them and ask them to take me somewhere, I don't have any other way to do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So they'll, take time to help me because I don't ask them to do it all the time.
Right. That's the thing, that it doesn't come up often, that when you're asking, it's a one and done. So, yeah.
And so, anyway, I'm not trying to be mean to you, Jim. I'm really not.
Oh, I know that. I know that. And I think he knows it too. And in his heart, I think he wants the same thing. But it's really easy to continue to look for those quick fixes, to look for that answer that will make life easier. And the reality is right now, it is just not there.
No. So. And, his vision doesn't seem to be, it seems to just keep getting worse. He keeps getting these shots.
Absolutely.
I know my mother spent a fortune on me when I was a little girl trying to, cure me.
Right, do anything. And sometimes there's nothing to be done. Yeah, I hope
so,
because if there's anything that could make Jim independent, it would change his life entirely. And I know that's what he wants, but the reality is the only way that's going to happen is if he makes it happen.
Right. And I know he got in touch with that blindness organization and, They will train him in voiceover.
Good.
And stuff like that. And I know it seems frustrating. I know he said, I hate voiceover and all, but that's because he doesn't know how to use it.
Right.
And Stereo is different than voiceover. A lot of people don't get that.
Oh, absolutely it is.
It drives me crazy because people, I have that on my phone. No,
no
you don't.
You don't.
You have Stereo.
Exactly. No, you don't. Exactly. Yeah. All right. No, I think it's great advice, and I really do believe Jim will take it in the spirit it's given.
I hope so.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Sure.
Talk to you soon. Appreciate it. Yeah, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Now, that said, Karen has some advice for a great Bluetooth keyboard, which is always good to have. I carry one in my purse, truth be known, because as far as those phones, I can't see them worth a darn, and I have no problem pulling out that Bluetooth keyboard. So, Karen, what you got?
Hi. Okay. I have no, I don't care what side the screen is or what, I am no good at gestures. And okay. I could not figure out, I figured it out, I was shown how, but I am absolutely no good at screenwriting. So what, I had an instructor who was also blind at Lighthouse, and he suggested to me that I get, this is how I got my first keyboard, and I'll tell you what, the first one I had, in order to know when it was off and on, you had to see the green light. Well, we solved that problem. Amazon makes what they call a collapsible?
Right.
Pluggable, or is it pluggable, collapsible keyboard. And it is great. There's a space between where the arrow keys are and you can tell right away when you like where your arrow keys are. Another thing I really like is on the top row of the keyboard, you have your home key and your volume keys and some that you don't use, but for me, those are the most important. Mm-hmm. And I really like those keyboards. And I'm not sure that I would function very well. Like I say, I can gesture, but I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, I'm not good at it.
And it frustrates me.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Good. All right, well.
And I thought maybe that would help Jim. I know it sure did help me.
No, I think it's a great idea, and anything adaptive like that is wonderful, but it does not remove the need for Jim to be totally proficient with VoiceOver and every other adaptive thing he can get.
Yeah, I tried to learn this, and I did learn the gestures, whatever, but I'll go to something I want, and I'll tap on it, and I'll wind up with the wrong thing,
yeah.
And eventually I get frustrated. Well, I'm 82, and I get a little frustrated now and then, but it just the only thing I have is I'll be making a writing in a contact, and I want to put in, it says email, and I tap on that, put in the email address, and suddenly find out it's under something else.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay, I relate.
And that makes me nuts. And they're trying to help me with that. People's nuts because VoiceOver's in the wrong place. Tap on the right side of the screen. Okay, tap on the right side of the screen. But it doesn't tell me where the hell VoiceOver is.
Yeah. No, there's frustration on top of everything else, even in the best situation. But ultimately, when you master it, the freedom you get from being able to use that is just wonderful.
Oh, yeah, I love mine. But like I say, I can't do it without the keyboard. And when I want to make a call, I have Siri do it.
Okay. Well, excellent.
You can say, you know, Siri, call, and give her the number.
Yeah.
Or if it's in your contacts, you can give her the name. And I do that a lot. And I notice a lot of my friends do, too.
All right. Well, good advice, good information, and thanks for calling.
And I hope I can help Jim and tell him I'm still praying for him.
Absolutely. I think we all are. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you so much for
all
taking
right.
my call. And
absolutely.
You have a great night and get well.
Oh, thanks. All right. So let's see what we can get here in the final moments right after this on WGN Radio.
Thank you. sentimental journey, gonna set my heart at ease, gonna make a sentimental journey to renew old memories. Got my bag, got my reservation, spent each dime I could afford, like a child in wild anticipation, long to hear that all aboard.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, that's Doris Day, vocalist, and Les Brown and his orchestra, and that is the first version of Sentimental Journey, which has been recorded about 450 times. So, that was, January of 45 that it came out. It was recorded in the fall of 44. And that hit was actually one of Dave on the North Side's requests for Betty. So, all right, Dave, I think that we've played all of them now. Let's find out. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Do we miss any?
Hello?
Yeah, do we miss any?
Yeah, there's still a couple more.
Okay, what else we got?
I can barely hear you now, though.
I don't know what to do about that.
Hey, your phone's been acting funny all night. I've noticed it. Mm. If you had more time, I'd talk about it.
Nope, no reason to. Nothing I can do about it. Not even going to think about it. All right, so what am I missing here?
Let's see. I think the other two was Electric Light Orchestra.
Oh, right, exactly. That I do have for you. Yeah.
I figure maybe you had trouble finding that because I wasn't sure if I gave you the right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Stardust, I think, was the other one.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get them
all. Oh, another one, the old double moon.
Okay. All right. We'll do it. Good to talk to you.
Okay. Are you out of time?
Just about. I got about 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, yeah. All right. It's too bad you're not on. But H.G. Wells and his there was a movie. I didn't know there was a TV movie made about it. I thought it was just a radio.
No. There's been so much done on that. Call me some night earlier, or I'll get to you earlier, and I apologize for that. And we'll talk about it.
I was holding for a while.
Yeah, I know. I apologize.
And a few things I wanted to talk about.
Call back next week, and we didn't even get to Jeff in Beloit, so or Eduardo in Tampa. But we did get to you, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks.
Thank you, bye.
All right, so apologies to Jeff. We're going to talk about McDonald's. I always like that. And Eduardo, overseas travel at your own risk. All right, so on that night, we got a full show Monday night for Monday Night Trivia, I believe. Though, you know, I say that with such assurance, and then I find out half the time I'm wrong. But it looks like full shows all next week. And in the waning seconds here, let me go to WGN Radio and check that out. But as far as I know, we will be starting at 10 o'clock Monday through Thursday next week. And let's see. So I should check this more often, actually. All right, so upcoming schedule, that would be me. All right, so it looks like on Monday, yep, full show. Tuesday, full show. Wednesday, full show. And Thursday, full show. So it's a date. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. We'll do it next week, I hope, on WGN Radio.
Potomac Pew Step Plus, Grub Tub, and Doggy Doo Disaster. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news. Real stories, real fun. A river runs, spew it. Is this what they mean by draining the swamp? A colossal crapshoot in the Potomac as the capital region gags on the stench of at least 200 million gallons of raw sewage. A sewer line crapped out in January causing an actual excremental episode of Schitt's Creek, one of the worst in U.S. history. The deluge of district area dung will take at least a month to mop up. It's so bad even the mainstream media's calling it the poop Tomac. Robo Slop, they're cuckoo for Coco Tough, a fearless food delivery robot that's making a real splash in L.A. Coco caught on camera conquering the flooded streets of West Hollywood, the bold bot barreling on through the submerged streets and sidewalks. Go Coco go, bystanders bellowed at the unsinkable trolley unbound. Maybe it never used to rain in Southern California, but now Angelinos can rely on a reliable rain-resistant robot who rocks around the block. Poop-pocalypse panic. New York City sidewalk sanity is shattered as thawing streets unleash a foul-smelling flood of frozen, forgotten dog dew. Strollers dodge disgusting droppings dumped by careless canine commanders who buried responsibility beneath blizzard blankets. Sanitation sentinels warn scoop-skipping scofflaws face stiff $250 summonses, but phantom poopers flee before fines can fall. Now camera crackdowns loom as officials fight this brown backlog. Looks like winter didn't just freeze the city, it exposed who's really full of it. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.